The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. And May is Women's Health Month. And we have with us today a very special guest who is here to talk to us about what women can do to prevent illness and improve their overall physical and emotional health and well-being. She is Dr. Ashanda St. Jean. She is Chair of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston and a member of the Ulster County Board of Health. So, Dr. St. Jean, welcome back to Healthy Ulster Radio.
Oh, I am so happy to be back and thank you for the opportunity so I can reach your audience and just really talk more about women's health. It's such an honor and pleasure to be here.
It's always great to have you. And Dr. St. Jean, for the benefit of our listeners who may not have heard you in your previous guest appearances, so to speak, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? What inspired you to get to specialize in women's health?
Oh, my goodness. So I'm originally from New York City, and I am one of six children. And my mother was actually in nursing school when she was pregnant with her first child, my older brother. And unfortunately, she could not continue her studies in nursing because of her impending family, and then which grew. And so my older brother is a physician, and she always says that he got it, all that knowledge that was just kind of infusing into the womb while she was pregnant. And so I really wanted to pursue medicine, and I wanted to be a pediatrician. And when I got to medical school and did my rotation in pediatrics, I couldn't bear to see the children sick. You know, I just thought it would just be something fun and you see such cute little babies. But part of it is that, you know, there is sickness that happens. And so that was very, very difficult for me. And when I kind of envisioned what my future would look like, I wanted to be around joy and happiness. Mm-hmm. When I did my OBGYN rotation, I just was in amazement when I saw my very first birth. It was my first day of the rotation, and I immediately called my mother and I said, "You did this six times? Oh my gosh." And just loved it. I just really thought that, wow, so I get to be a part of the best day of somebody's life, but also deal with people and patients that are practically healthy, and you have the best outcomes and you have happy moments. And I wanted to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when my daughter was born, even before she was born, we had, of course, an OBGYN, but we also had a doula. Mm-hmm. And I just was just imagining what it must be like to have that be your job, to bring beautiful babies into the world. What an amazing thing. I mean, that's, you know, that's creation. You know, it's what an inspiring and amazing thing.
You know, I will tell you this, after 26 years, and I stopped counting after 5,000 births, I still I'm in amazement of the miracle of life. Like, I still can't believe that that baby came out of that belly. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's just an opportunity to just witness absolutely the miracle of life. And so, you know, it's a very, very large honor and privilege that I get to do something that I absolutely love. But also, it's something that's so memorable to both the patient, yourself. No one forgets the day they had a baby. No one forgets the day that they gave birth. And just like you can recall so instantly when your child was born, you know, those are the ways that we can kind of develop frameworks so that there's no trauma, there's no toxicness of the birth. It's just joy and happiness. Recently, I said to an audience when we were talking about, it was Black Maternal Health Week recently, and I said, the address of birth should be the intersection of joy and happiness. And nice. That's what we strive to achieve.
Nice. A little poetry in there with the medical practice. Wonderful. So Dr. St. Jean, let's switch gears for a moment, not really all the way, but May is Women's Health Month. And we all know that preventative care is absolutely essential to maintain well-being. So talk to us for a moment, if you would, about the importance of well woman visits, and you know, what are the primary goals and objectives of those visits, and why are they so important for folks?
Yeah. So we have to also recognize that, you know, going to the gynecologist is not always on the top priority of a lot of patients because it's an invasive exam. And, you know, it's very personal. And so we accept that. But I also want to stress the importance of having and making those appointments and really having those exams be performed. So there's several different aspects where it is helpful to one's kind of overall well-being and mental health, and also their healthcare maintenance. So there is screening for cervical cancer that we do with pap smears. There is the opportunity of early detection of any disease entities or conditions. There is the opportunity of preventive medicine where we can offer vaccinations. And there's always the opportunity for education and support. What happens often, and especially in rural areas like here, is sometimes your gynecologist actually kind of sits in for also your primary care doctor. You develop such a close relationship. There are ways where you have to talk about and map out your life, whether it be what are your fertility goals, whether it's midlife when we're talking about perimenopause or menopause. These are very intimate conversations. And so one, you want to be with a provider who listens, right? Who also understands what shared decision making means and also recognizes your lived experience. And so in that, we have this opportunity to exchange with our patients, you know, ways that we can make sure that they are able to achieve the goals that they have for themselves, but also do that in the framework of, you know, health, wellness, and also a way that we can contribute to them having their aspirational goals.
I know that, you know, for instance, when I go to the doctor, it's usually like in the middle of a busy day. And, you know, sometimes I haven't given a lot of thought or enough thought to what I want to ask him about. In this case, he's a male. I haven't done as much preparation in my mind, at least, of what, you know, what I want to, what I want him to know about me and what I need to ask him about certain things. So what's your advice to women who are preparing for a visit? What should they be? How should they prepare?
Oh my gosh. I love this question because guess what? I love questions. So what I tell patients to do is please write down your questions. We all forget when we get to the doctor's office. We could be running late. You know, our blood pressure may be a little up. You know, we see the white coat and there's white coat hypertension. So please write down your questions and your concerns. That way you don't forget them and you assure that they are going to be addressed. And there is an understanding that this is part of your treatment and your management. These are your concerns. We want to elevate those concerns to make sure that they are fully aware of. One of the things I love is, you know, again, we're in this smart device era, right? And so no more paper and pen, but you know, just go into your notes section on your smart device and just write down everything. You know, one of the things I love with patients who bring questions is we do not stop until every question is answered to their satisfaction. And again, what our patients want is to feel important, but also feel heard. And we as providers, we want to be active listeners and we want our patients to be an active participant in their healthcare. But again, we can only do that if we respect and recognize their lived experience, but also offer them the opportunity to have self-agency and also self-advocacy. So I really, really want to say that I want you to bring questions, bring your concerns. We are in the age of the internet and Dr. Google and WebMD. And so a lot of my patients do a lot of research and they say, I saw this. And some of the research is not necessarily applicable to them or their kind of medical condition, but that's also another opportunity of education and then putting forth a conversation, right? Where we can just really kind of look at all of the aspects and all the pathways and avenues of their concerns so that we arrive at at a place of understanding and where they too are an active participant in their care.
And it really is a collaborative partnership, right? I mean, it's just, you know, that one has to take one responsibility for one's own health and also, you know, establish a really great, great lines of communication with their provider. That's a winning combination. And
the only thing I would add to that, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, collaborative, but also with respect.
Right.
Those two have to go hand in hand. You know, often I have patients who say, well, I don't want a mammogram or I heard this. So what I say to that is, tell me more. Why do you feel that way? Let's talk about it more. And again, I see that as a pathway of education, but also bringing forth understanding. So again, we have to know why our patients don't want to do certain things. And that's the way that we are going to be able to help them arrive at an understanding of what's important for their health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And dispelling some of the misinformation gently and respectfully, and really arriving at a place where everyone, both parties, are more well-informed about what's, you know, what's going on. So Dr. St. Jean, we're going to talk about a little bit about some of the lifestyle factors, but first we're going to take a very short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and we'll be back after these words.
Westchester Medical Center Health Network's new Health Alliance Hospital is open in Kingston at 105 Mary's Avenue. The new hospital delivers on WMC Health's commitment to provide access to advanced healthcare right here in this community. Our comfortable and welcoming new Health Alliance Hospital has highly skilled doctors, nurses, and staff. We are ready to make your healthcare experience the best it can be. Here are just a few of the services ready to take care of you and your loved ones when you need us. A new emergency department with 24/7 triage for behavioral health needs, life-saving advanced cardiology programs, family birth center, private rooms, precise imaging technology, critical care support. And later this year, our inpatient psychiatry program will be reestablished to complement existing emergency and outpatient programs. Go to hahv.org for information. That's hahv.org.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our guest is Dr. Roshonda St. Jean. She is Chair of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston and a member of our Ulster County Board of Health. So, Dr. St. Jean, before the break, we were talking about the importance of women visits, and also a little bit in the break about how important the collaborative partnership is between someone who's seeking health care and wellness and a provider, and how important that relationship is and that connection. So talk to us first about that connection a little bit, why that's so critical.
Well, we have to understand going to the GYN is a very personal, you know, it's one of the only fields where someone gets completely undressed from head to toe, right? And they're examined by their doctor. So prior to that happening, there has to be some sort of bridge towards trust. And again, we have to recognize, unless it's an established patient, this is a new kind of interaction between two strangers, right? And so in that, you know, what we want to do is make sure that patients have that autonomy, but also that agency where they feel free to kind of discuss matters with their doctor. They may not discuss with anyone else. And so for me, I feel that I am so privileged to kind of be in a space where I'm able to connect with strangers every day, but also start building and constructing that level of trust where I can kind of help or assist or collaborate on some of the very delicacies of their lives. You know, one of the things we talked about in the break is that I don't see my day as a schedule of appointments. I see it as a schedule of connections where I get to connect with my patients and, you know, and wherever they are in their path on their life journey, whether it be, you know, just regular routine GYN care, whether it's, you know, prenatal care and the pending birth of their newborn or postpartum care, where we need to really focus on what happens with the imbalance of hormones and how that can impact their mental health, but also, or in their midlife when they may be going through the transition of menopause and perimenopause and how that impacts their life. I want to be in a place where there's no shame or stigma. They can actually just wholeheartedly talk to me so that I can help them arrive at the best health results and outcomes that they so readily deserve. We all deserve to be healthy. We all deserve happiness and joy in our lives. Mm-hmm. And if I'm able to help facilitate that, then I think I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've always thought like that health is so foundational. In the gym that I go to here in Kingston, it says he, and it could be she, who has health has hope, and he who has hope has everything. You know, that if you have your health, anything is possible really from there. It's a foundation, strong foundation. So Dr. Sanchin, let's talk for a moment about lifestyle factors and health maintenance. Preventative factors in one's life that can enhance well-being, enhance health, not a guarantee of avoiding illness, but can really, really play an important role.
Yeah. So when we think about gynecologic visits, right, we always think about pap smears, right? And so just to give the audience a bit of guidance, you know, pap smears should start to occur at 21 years of age. And again, that's nervous. Our patients are nervous about that, you know, having that pap smear, what they've thought or heard or what kind of perceptions they have received from social media or whatever. But first and foremost, foundationary is we really want to encourage our patients to have cervical cancer screening with pap smears. And we know that early detection leads to opportunities for prevention and early treatment. So what I would say is we really encourage the annual GYN exams, but also routine pap smears as well. And as we saw just hot off the presses is that now it is recommended. ACOG, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, has always provided the guidance that mammography should be started at 40 years old and screening should continue annually. But now it actually has now been supported by many cancer associations as well. So again, mammography at 40 years old, but also there is the opportunity if there is a family history of breast cancer, because we know that's one of the top cancers in women, but there's an opportunity for genetic screening. And one of the things that we're able to offer here at Health Alliance and with Westchester Medical Center is we do have genetic counselors who are able to do virtual visits as well. And most insurances will cover genetic testing to see if you're predisposed for any hereditary cancers, such as breast cancer as well, certain types of breast cancer. I don't want to say that. Another thing that we want to talk about is cardiovascular disease. We know that's a big reason for deaths in women. And so what I encourage patients to do is to have those annual visits, not only with their gynecologist, but with their primary care provider and making sure from a cardiovascular perspective that their cholesterol is being checked, that their blood pressure is being checked, and that if there's opportunities for early detection or treatment of any underlying medical conditions, that they are actually treated. Last, in terms of preventative medications or preventative actions, we have to talk about the importance of vaccinations. And I understand a lot of people are vaccine burnout.
Yeah.
COVID, there's a lot of vaccine burnout. They don't want to talk about vaccines, okay? And there's a lot of vaccine hesitancy, but we want to reinforce vaccine confidence, right? Because we know many vaccines prevent illness. And in the case of, in the framework of women, we know that the HPV vaccine actually prevents cervical cancer. So, you know, and the FDA did actually now extend the HPV vaccination to women to 45 years old, right? So again, you know, putting forth that knowledge and that education to our patients. See, this is part of the connection because some of our patients don't know this.
Yeah. And so, even those of us who work right in the, for the health department don't know all of this. I mean, it took me, I'm learning something new every day about all of these subjects.
Yeah. Well, can I tell you, I learn something new every day too. And do you know how much I learn from my patients as well? And this is why I say these are connections. They're not appointments. We have to always learn from each other. There should always be an exchange of information. And so one of the ways that you truly connect is that we share our information. So when a patient says to me, I don't want to do this, I want to know why, right? I want to know why. I want to have that dialogue, that discussion, because then there are ways that I can educate them, but they're also educating me on why they don't want it, right? And that makes me understand them better. And so that's how you arrive at mutual understanding. But also, we want our patients to collaborate on their health as well.
Yeah.
I want to be part of your team. I want to be one of your team doctors.
Yeah.
And then also kind of taking it to the next level is that we have to collaborate amongst the physicians. So I want to collaborate with your PCP. I want to collaborate with your cardiovascular disease, your cardiologist. I want to collaborate. And so we have to share that information together so that, again, we are part of the team of making someone's health healthier, but also improving outcome.
And Dr. St. Jean, unfortunately, we are beginning to run it low on time. So before we do, can you talk a little bit about, the role of diet and exercise, stress management, and so on in the process? You know, most doctors will say don't smoke, of course, and, you know, exercise more and eat better. But to what extent do you really endeavor to get like a really complete picture of what your patients' lives are about in that regard? And then let's talk a little bit about mental health and emotional well-being in the 2 minutes or so we have left.
Okay. So I would say diet, exercise, healthy eating, diet modification, all of those play a major role. We know that 40% of the population here in the United States are deemed obese. So we know obesity is a big problem. And we understand that during COVID, what truly happened is that we learned that we have, the delivery of food or fast food rapidly, right? And so that really kind of attributed to a sedentary lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So we are out of COVID. You know, we want all of us to get out and go outside. Look at today has a beautiful sunshine. You know, we've been waiting on spring to arrive. It's finally getting here. But then maybe tomorrow it's going to be another cold day. But again, we have to have those conversations with our patients. One of the things I see often, especially with my gestational diabetic patients, is we don't know what everyone is eating, right? Because there's cultural differences. And we want to make sure that we steer them on the correct path. So having those conversations, but also talking about what are you eating and how we can kind of arrive at healthy options. There are food co-ops here in Kingston. There are healthy eating opportunities. There's classes, there's cooking classes. And how can we really kind of encourage our patients to take advantage of that, but as well as supporting their healthy journeys? Mm-hmm. Now, also in mental health, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So mental health, that's a major one, right? So we learned in COVID how it's so important for self-care, but also how the impact of mental health can really, really impact one's life, but also their health. Right now in the United States, the number one cause of maternal mortality is mental health. Wow. Number one cause. And this is across all races. The number one cause. So this is a conversation that needs to be in the forefront because it affects so many people. In addition to that, we know that substance use disorder and opioid use disorder is part of that. So we need more mental health specialists. We need more collaborative care. We need providers that accept insurances, that are accepting new patients, that are not having patients have to pay out of pocket and then wait for a reimbursement. We have to make the access to mental health easier. Mm-hmm. This will help kind of combat what I think right now is a public health crisis.
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it. And that's a subject for a whole other show. And we will have you back for sure to talk, elaborate more. But first, very quickly, if you could tell our listeners how to get in touch with you.
Oh, thank you. So we are always accepting new patients. We are located located at 373 Broadway, across the street from the old Health Alliance Hospital. And our number is 845-303-1132. And also, you can also check us out on our website, wmchealth.org. And again, we welcome new patients, and we are grateful to be vessels of healing for the whole entire Kingston community and Ulster County. And thank you for this opportunity to talk with your listeners and just really discuss these matters, because we want them to be on the forefront.
It's such a pleasure to talk with you, Dr. Sanjean, really. I mean, your passion and enthusiasm and your caring comes through, shining right through. So thank you so much. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.